Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched by the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Scripture reading is from Psalms, Psalm 104, verses 24 through 34, and the last half of verse 35. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, great and wide. Creeping things innumerable are there, living things both small and great. There go the ships and Leviathan that you formed to sport in it. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works, who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have been. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord.
Good morning, church. It is such an honor and great privilege to be able to be with you on this very special Sunday, and I am really humbled by Pastor Lori's invitation to be the one to offer the proclamation on this significant anniversary, a time when you look back and give thanks for all that has been done and give thanks for the present and the things that you are doing together and leaning into the future that God has for you in excitement and in joy. It is particularly wonderful for me to be here on a day that you honor, April, sorry. Just had an old moment there. April and I actually were ordained together as deacons in the annual conference in 1985. And so it is so good to feel like that arc of our ministry. And we said maybe we should both retire now. We're starting to have buildings named after us. But it is a great pleasure. And thank you, choir, for such spectacular music. My heart is full already. So will you pray with me, please? Gracious God, we give our praise to you for all that you have done and all that you are doing and all that you will do in the lives of these people and in this place and all over the world. We pray that you would fill us with the song of the psalmist so that we too might sing your praises, that we might look around us in the glory of creation and be inspired by your creative hand and the movement of your spirit. Let your spirit move now through us in this place, and so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts not only bring glory to you in this place, but more importantly, that they give glory to you in the ways in which we walk in the world, in the ways in which we share your love, in the ways in which we proclaim your justice, in the ways in which we embody your mercy. Lord, your world is needing of your people to respond and to be who you've called us to be. So let this be a moment when that transformation continues again in Christ's name. Amen. One of my favorite hymns first became known to me when I was living in Palestine and Israel as a GBGM missionary in the mid-1990s. Once a month or so, friends would gather at the Mennonite Central Committee's home, where their staff lived, for dinner and a hymn sing. Now, the great thing about doing hymn sings with Mennonites is they all seem to know how to harmonize. The first time I heard the lyrics and the harmonies of this particular hymn, I felt the hairs rise on my arms. The lyrics were, "My life goes on, an endless stream, above earth's lamentations. I hear the real, though far-off song that hails a new creation. No storm can shake my inmost calm while to that rock I'm clinging. Since love is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing? Since love is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing? I was moved by that profound statement of faith. How indeed, knowing what I know, trusting in what I do about the God who is creator of all that is, can my heart refrain from singing? Yet here at the beginning of the third decade of the 21st century, this may seem a rather impossible response. For there seems to be quite a lot in our world that can keep us from singing. Our news cycles are full of stories of destruction and despair, of human violence against creation and one another. Hate-based crimes and fear of difference have risen sharply in the last few years. Human migration brought on by conflict and drought and poverty is at an all-time high. And one doesn't have to turn many pages of the newspaper to learn how child poverty and homelessness reveal deep brokenness in our society and right here in our own backyard. And we know that our denomination itself is in the throes of conflict and division, and then we just have to say the word COVID. And we know over a million reasons why praise seems difficult. How can I keep from singing? Let me count the ways. And yet here we are this morning celebrating the anniversary of your faith community. 75 years of community, of outreach, of mission, of lives transformed and lives welcomed. Here, week after week, in person and online, you have gathered people of all ages and many backgrounds to raise your voices above earth's lamentations, listening for the echo of that far-off song that promises a new creation. So people ask, is our gathering, is our singing little more than wishful thinking? Are we only here escaping the world around us? You know, there are some that would say yes. And I think back to that first Pentecost Sunday, the day that the gift of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the church is celebrated. Many who listened to those who were praising God in many languages dismissed them. They dismissed what they heard as little more than naive noise, probably caused by too much drink. Peter counters that cynical narrative, though, proclaiming that God is doing a new thing in these people, equipping those from every nation to hear a life-saving news of God's love in the language of their heart, in their mother tongue. Now, what was so remarkable about that particular story is you see that in the Bible, there have been other remarkable displays of God's Spirit set loose, like Moses on Mount Sinai or Jesus at the Transfiguration. But in all of those stories, those revelations were reserved for a secret, select few, the closest of insiders. But at that story of the church's birth, at the very beginning, the gift of the Holy Spirit is a gift for those outside even that nascent Jesus movement. You see, it wasn't just the disciples gathered in a room getting themselves together after Jesus is once more departed. Not just the holiest or the most faithful or the most learned. Not just the believers, not just those who were with Jesus on the road or witnesses to the resurrection. No, in this case, the gift of the Holy Spirit, in this moment, all flesh, male and female, old and young, slave and free, were invited and included. And not just invited, but expected to prophesy and dream too. According to Marcus Borg, the Spirit of Pentecost undid what happened at the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11. As it brings back together the broken and divided community of humankind. When you go to the Bible and you read the stories of the Acts of the Apostles that come along after that first Pentecost morning, we hear how the Spirit kept pushing the boundaries of who should be considered part of the in crowd. Whatever objections those who saw themselves as the keepers of righteousness had about people they thought were outside the reach of the, or included in the breadth of God's gracious love, were shattered. Shattered by the movement of the Spirit. Yes, God was creator, sustainer, redeemer of all. And while it is true that we might not be able to sing if our eyes look only to what human beings are doing, when we have eyes to see what God is doing, the Spirit can and will move us to praise God and to witness to God's mighty deeds. Amen? That is what the psalmist was doing in the reading for today. Now, this psalm, which we only read a small portion of, is the second half, is a song of praise of God in all creation, what God is doing and is doing and will do in creation. Now, I invite you to go back and read the entirety of Psalm 103 and Psalm 104 later today. For together, those two psalms are a magnificent anthem of praise to the great biodiversity of God's creative hand. The psalmist testifies that in that diversity is a revelation of God's wisdom. It is, in fact, God's signature upon this world. From the uniqueness of every snowflake to the specific configuration of each sea coral plant to the iris of every mammal's eye, God makes no two things alike, and God delights in it all. You know, a few years ago, I was taking another GBGM missionary who was visiting and had been serving in Cambodia. And she was on itineration in the United States to churches that had been supporting her. And so I was serving at First Pasadena then. And so I took her to the Huntington Gardens, which is this beautiful set of gardens near Pasadena. It was a beautiful day and so much was still in bloom because we'd had these late spring rains. At one point, we made our way to the herb garden, which is near all the glorious roses that they have at the Huntington Gardens. There we discovered so many amazing plants. The diversity in color and hue and smell and texture and height was striking. At one point, I literally slowly just turned around in a circle again and again, for I was in awe of what I was seeing all around me. I shared with Esther that only one had to look at this garden to realize that God must delight in creativity and diversity. Think about it. Take leafy sea dragons. Do you know what those are? Someone does. If not, go search on the internet. You'll find them. Or go visit the Birch Aquarium. They have some there. They look like God couldn't decide whether to make another form of kelp or seahorses, but put them together. And there's the okapi, one of my favorite animals. The stripes on its hindquarters from legs are reminiscent of zebras, but their neck is this velvety reddish brown that almost looks like a quarter horse with a beautiful winter coat. But it's actually the only living relative of the giraffe. Go figure. And then, well, there's artichokes. Have you ever seen an artichoke plant? There were some huge ones that day in the Huntington Gardens. Why would anyone ever think you could eat one of those? I mean, the point is that the psalmist declares that in the glory of all that is, we see God's hand, God's wisdom, God's understanding of beauty. We see God's providence and compassion. We see how life depends on God's creative spirit giving breath to all, even rocks, water and mountains, leafy sea dragons, okapi and artichokes, and then, yes, people in all our gloriousness. When we stop long enough to notice, we can't help but sing, says the psalmist. We can't help but turn around dancing in delight and saying thanks. And it is that same creative, life-giving, compassionate spirit that gave birth to the church, calling it to throw open its arms and shout out, all are welcome, all are needed, all display God's creative hand. So when we recall that, how can we keep from singing? You know, Johann Sebastian Bach was born into a musical family in 1685. His was not an easy life.
beginning with the losing of both of his parents by the time he was 10. But by age 17, he became the organist at his church, and soon thereafter, he was given charge of the entire music ministry. You're in good company over here with your... There was a period of time in which Bach was writing a cantata every week for the choir to sing in worship. Most of Bach's works are explicitly biblical, and he is often referred to as the fifth evangelist because of the witness to God proclaimed through his music. At the beginning of just about every authentic manuscript of Bach's, there are two letters found, JJ. Those initials stand for Jesu Juva, Latin for Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Maybe Bach was on to something. For in that prayer at the beginning of every piece of music he wrote was a clue about how it is we will be able to sing in a world that has so often gone wrong. If we believe that God delights in the diversity of all creation, that human beings are not a solo act, that each day we are invited to compose a testimony to that belief through how we move through our day, by how we engage our spouse, how we interact with our children, treat our coworkers, greet a stranger, handle a difficult situation, face conflict, or respond to injustice. If we begin each day with that prayer, Jesus, help me. Then when we get up and begin to create, God will join us in making that new world. Into the pathos of what is, we sing a healing, forgiving, grace-filled word through who we are in the world. We sing because we can do no less as those who delight in a God who delights in all of creation. As you recall your life together over these last 75 years, what songs have you sung? What harmonies have you created? Where have discord or dissonance resolved into beauty? Taking time to remember and give thanks for the songs that you have carried you to this day is good and right on such an important morning. You know, then at the end of Bach's manuscripts, you'll find another set of letters. This time, SDG. Those stand for Solo Deo Gratia. To God alone, the glory. The beauty that Bach created, he understood as a gift of the Spirit working in and through him. His purpose was that music would stir people's hearts so that they might know the God of all that is and be moved to live their lives that reflected that revelation. For some of you follow me on Facebook, and you know that I have my grandniece, Melody, is sort of the heart of my heart. And a few years ago, when she was just turning 4, she was playing on one of those toy xylophones. Certainly not the most melodious of instruments, any parent will testify. But amid the cacophony she was creating, she suddenly stopped and she proclaimed to her mother, and I quote verbatim, "This piece is to honor God's decision to love everyone, and for everyone to love whoever they are. It doesn't matter if they're a boy or a girl. God's decision is love, and this is my honor for him." And then she turned back the xylophone and made more cacophony. At 4, at a tender age, Melody had already been touched by the Spirit and understood something about love and about where it comes from. Solo de la gloria, grazie, to God alone the glory. Friends, anniversaries are not only, and maybe not even primarily, about looking back. They're also meant to help invite us forward, to let the love and challenges and heartbreaks and accomplishments be the soil out of which the next season will grow. What song are you now going to compose with your lives in this community? How will you use what you have and who you are to point to the God revealed in scripture and tradition, made known through reason and experience, whose wisdom and delight are evident in creation around us? The gift of the Spirit today is a gift to help you find your voice and to claim God's tune for your lives, for everyone's lives. Each of us, like Melody, like Bach, like the psalmist, can be instruments of God's glory. We're invited to raise our voices in proclamation so that others will be drawn out of the brokenness of this world into a space where the least, the last, and the lost can hear the good news of God's love for all, when then their voice can be added to the choir. Friends, it is time for a great renewal in the church and a recommitment to the active living of our faith. It's time for our sons and daughters to prophesy, for our young to dream dreams and our old to see visions, for an outpouring of the Spirit that calls us out of our preconceived notions and neat perceptions in favor of an expansive, inclusive, and liberating reign of God. If we let the Spirit move through us, then all the tumult and the strife will hear God's music ringing. If we find an echo in our soul, we cannot keep from singing. To God alone, the glory. Amen.
It's our joy now to pray together. Eternal God, in wisdom you have gathered your people, charted our course, called forth leaders with various gifts, inspired our love and service, redeemed our mistakes, blessed us with your grace, encouraged us to offer your healing and hope to an ever-expanding circle of friends. And you have filled us with the joy of sharing in Christ's ministry. We thank you for the firm foundation of faith you have laid for us. We praise you for the continuing renewal of vision and compassion with which you strengthen us. Keep before us today and always, the memory of those who have generously given of their time and talents so that there would be a witness to the gospel here in this place. From them, we have inherited practices of hospitality and inclusion, worship and study, prayer and celebration. Raise us up on eagle's wings. Bear us on the breath of dawn so that we can continue in the good work that others have begun. Precious Lord, make us ever aware of the tenderness with which you care for us, so that those who are grieving may be comforted, those who are unwell may experience health, those who are frightened may be steadied, those who are confused may find clarity. In these moments, as we call to mind people and places of concern to us, people and places we hold dear, we trust completely in your desire to bring them and all the world into peace and wholeness. Where suffering is great due to the violence of war or weather, send great awakening so that we human beings might mend our ways and change our direction in time to help you sustain the beauty and the bounty of your magnificent creation. Spirit of holiness, you are known to work through songs and social events, meals and medical clinics, parades and picnics, renovations and retreats, camps and classes, quilts and quiet times. Move in our midst, now and into the future, that we may go on to find further meaningful ways to connect with those that you would have us serve. Our hope is to bring you glory. We join our voices now in praying the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.